Chapter 5. Birdie Edwards's Trap.
Later that evening, McMurdo went to the lodge. As it was Saturday, the brothers were already there. Jack went to his seat.
Master,
he said,
I have urgent news.
McMurdo told them what he knew and what he planned to do about it.
There's only one answer,
said McMurdo.
Birdie Edwards must never leave the valley,
said Baldwin.
Exactly,
agreed McMurdo.
Here's what we'll do.
He told them his plan. Birdie Edwards was pretending to be a journalist called Steve Wilson. He had spoken to McMurdo, offering him money for information on the Scourers. McMurdo had told him some stories that he had made up, and Wilson gave him $20. Wilson offered him more money for more information. McMurdo arranged for Wilson to come to his house so that he could tell him all the secrets of the lodge in exchange for more money. Wilson was to come to Mrs. McNamara's house at 10 o'clock. The house was isolated, and Mrs. McNamara did not hear very well. 7 of the other freemen were to come to the house at 9 o'clock, ready for Mr. Wilson.
Once we get the door shut behind him, that'll be the end of Birdie Edwards,
said McMurdo. McMurdo returned home and prepared for the evening ahead. He cleaned and oiled his gun. He spoke to Scanlon, who was also staying at the house. Although he was a Scourer, Scanlon did not like what the men did. McMurdo told him to go out that evening and stay away until the morning. The 7 freemen, including Boss McGinty, arrived at 9 o'clock. McMurdo put the whiskey on the table, and the men began to drink, ready for the job that was ahead of them.
Maybe he won't come. Maybe he knows there's danger,
said one of the men.
Don't worry, he'll come,
said McMurdo.
Listen.
There were 3 loud knocks on the door.
Be quiet,
whispered McMurdo to the others. He went down the passage to the door. The others heard McMurdo open the door, then an unfamiliar voice. Then they heard the door close. Birdie Edwards was inside. The door opened and McMurdo reappeared. He came to the end of the table and looked at the men. He said nothing.
Well,
said McGinty impatiently.
Is he here?
Yes,
replied McMurdo slowly.
Birdie Edwards is here. I am Birdie Edwards.
The room was silent. Then the windows were suddenly broken, and guns were pointing in through them. McGinty jumped up from his chair and ran for the door, but Captain Marvin of the police appeared and pointed his gun at him.
Stay where you are, McGinty,
said the man they had known as McMurdo.
Take their guns, Marvin.
The men could do nothing. They were trapped. They sat around the table, staring at McMurdo with confusion and hatred in their eyes.
I'd like to speak to you before we leave,
said the man who had trapped them.
I am Birdie Edwards of Pinkerton's Detective Agency. I was chosen to break up your gang. It's taken me a long time, and it's been hard and dangerous, but I've won. Maybe you think the game isn't over yet. I'll take my chances. You and 60 more of you will be in prison tonight. Before I took this job, I never believed that there was a society like yours. In Chicago, the Society of Freemen weren't bad men. I never killed a man in Chicago. I never printed any false money. I gave Chester Wilcox a warning so that when I blew up his house, he and his family were already gone.
You traitor,
shouted McGinty.
You can call me a traitor, but there are many people in this valley who will call me a savior. I've been here 3 months in order to get to know every man and every secret. I never want to live another 3 months like it, not for all the money in the world. Now, Captain Marvin, take them away.
Scanlon had delivered a note to Etty and her father. The two left the Valley of Fear and never went back. 10 days later, Etty and Birdie Edwards were married in Chicago. The trial of the Scourers was held, and McGinty was hanged along with 8 others. Many other men went to prison. Birdie Edwards's job was done. But, as he had thought, it was not over. Ted Baldwin was not sentenced to death. He was in prison for 10 years, but when he came out, he spent all his time looking for Birdie Edwards. Birdie Edwards changed his name again and moved to California, and it was there that Etty Edwards died. He took the name John Douglas and was nearly killed when he was working in the mining industry with an English partner named Barker. A warning came just in time, and Douglas left for England, where he married for the second time. And so we return to Sussex and the fate of John Douglas. At the trial, John Douglas was freed for having acted in self-defence, but Holmes's advice was to leave England. 2 months had gone by, and we had nearly forgotten about the case, but then, one night, a message arrived for Holmes. All it said was, "Dear me, Mr. Holmes, dear me." It was from Moriarty. Holmes looked very serious. Later that night, Cecil Barker came to visit us.
"I have very bad news, Mr. Holmes,"
he said.
"I thought so,"
said Holmes.
"It's poor Douglas. They tell me his real name is Edwards, but he'll always be Douglas to me. I told you that they left for South Africa 3 weeks ago?"
Holmes nodded.
"I received this message from Mrs. Douglas last night.
John has been lost overboard. No one knows how the accident occurred. Ivy Douglas."
"It was no accident,"
said Holmes.
"He was murdered? These scourers, these criminals? Why couldn't they leave him alone?"
"No, no,"
interrupted Holmes.
"There has been a master at work here. This is the work of Moriarty."
"But what has he to do with all this?"
"The Americans had a job to do in England. Like any other criminals, they asked Moriarty for help. From that moment, John Douglas was doomed."
"But what can be done? Can't this Moriarty be stopped?"
asked Barker.
"Oh, yes,"
said Holmes.
"He can be stopped. I just need more time."